to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 134. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and purchase your items there. You know, buy your new motherboard, buy your new graphics card. You're going to buy it anyways. Use our link. It hooks us up with a little bit of money so we can pay for things like this podcast. With me today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
You know, talking about graphics card prices are going down.
A little bit.
Big shifts here. It seems like we're getting a little bit back to normal, which is nice. If you're looking to buy a graphics card or build a new PC, so pretty happy about that.
Yeah, we'll see though, because also as we were just talking about before we started recording, the market is up. The whole cryptocurrency market is up.
Yeah, so. Crypto is back up, so that could bring those prices back up. We do have some dedicated crypto cards out there. There's also the Ethereum ASIC miner released by Bitmain came out last month or this month, I forget. But that was released as well, so it helps. I still don't think we're gonna get completely back there yet, but we're getting close, which is nice.
Every little bit helps. It's kind of funny to see people, a lot of miners, like, scrambled real quick to try to sell them. You could tell,
yeah,
in some of the used markets, and their pricing is all like pretty reflective of what they purchased at. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of deals you can find too. People trying to get rid of the mining cards, so it's something to look forward to. You know, jump on Reddit, jump on Craigslist. You might be able to find some deals.
Facebook Marketplace.
So, yeah. I'm not a fan of Facebook Marketplace, but
no,
I haven't had good experiences on there.
I've not had too many, but I've not had a bad experience. I've actually never bought from there though, so I guess I shouldn't speak to that.
Gotcha. So yeah, we are recording on Tuesday, and it's raining here. What's your weather like?
It's not raining yet. It might though. I'm really hoping it doesn't. But it's fair. It was gorgeous over the weekend, so I'm in a fairly good mood. I got a solid dose of vitamin D being out in the sun. So
yeah, you were at your last podcast. You said it was horrible, and then you finally got some of that nice weather. So
I think, what did they say in the past 10 days, I think this was yesterday, Michigan had like 25 degrees, snow, 70 degrees, rain, a thunderstorm, and an earthquake.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Like,
that's good. The world's ending up there.
But yeah, apparently.
That's pretty crazy.
So, yeah. Yeah. Spring these days.
Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of had, we've been back and forth. Like, it was, you know, 81 this, you know, not this past weekend, but the weekend we recorded the podcast. And then this past Tuesday, so a week ago, it snowed. And then it's been nice. And now it's kind of cold and raining today. So it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But let's jump into some tech. Of course, that's what this podcast is about. And we have two pretty cool products, one that I was super excited to check out and then ended up being a little disappointed with because we saw this keyboard at CES, and when you see something and just try it, it seems amazing. But then when you actually get to use it for an extended period of time, it can be a little disappointing. So this is the Tesoro Gram XS Mechanical Keyboard. We're going to see a lot of these this year. This is the low-profile mechanical keyboard with the low-profile switch, mechanical switch.
Kale switch, right?
Yeah, it's Kale switch. Right. These are great because a lot of people like this low-profile look. They want something that's going to look really cool but still give that mechanical feel, that quality of a mechanical keyboard, and, of course, that feedback of a mechanical keyboard in a sleek, nice, low-profile design. And I think that's design-wise, Tesoro knocked this out of the park. This is a full-size keyboard. They offer a black version, a white version. We got the white version because I just love white keyboards.
Always looks
good. I think they did a great job there. This thing looks sexy. It's RGB backlit with a ton of different settings, so you can change all that around. They have new software, which is actually pretty good. It's not the best out there, but it's really good. So all of that is great. The feel and everything of the keyboard, I just couldn't get used to. And you know, I review a lot of keyboards, and, you know, even some of the most crazy keyboards or biggest keyboards or whatever, after, you know, 2 days, I'm into that keyboard and I can type on it super fast and I can be productive. With this keyboard, I could never get in that groove, and that was kind of disturbing to me.
What are we talking here? Are we talking the key feel, spacing, the like width of the board?
So the biggest thing, and I've seen this with the other low profile keyboard that we reviewed as well, is that this has no height adjustment whatsoever. I think problem. At least for me, every time I've gotten a keyboard, almost everyone, I always use the pop out feet. I don't know about you.
I'm a flat. I like to lay them flat. But
okay, so this keyboard for me feels, especially in the beginning, felt very flat.
It's essentially just a completely flat deck. So
yeah, it's slightly angled. There's a slight angle. But another thing that people don't realize is that most mechanical keyboards, especially gaming keyboards, the actual design of the keys, the way that they're set in the keyboard is at an angle. So typically your first three rows from the bottom are angled down, whereas the next three or next two are angled up.
To put a dish into it.
Yeah, if you look at your keyboard from the side, you'll notice this. That's how the keycaps are designed and the keys are set in the keyboard. With this keyboard, everything's 100% flat. So I think that had a lot to do with it. And then finally, is that this is a chiclet style keyboard. So the keycaps are sort of just like the keycaps on a laptop.
Right.
But they're 100% flat. The top of the keycap is flat. Most keycaps are concave, meaning there's a little like a little pocket there for your fingers to sit in. With this, it's completely flat, so like my fingers would like slide off a little bit. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And I would all the time be hitting the wrong key, and it just wasn't comfortable. And I think those three things combined really made this an uncomfortable experience for me.
That's too bad, considering it's a good looking keyboard.
It's a good looking keyboard. I think it's well built. I think that the feature set is there.
I think Soro is coming in as one of the bigger names here. They're doing a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah.
Too bad for them to be off like that.
Yeah, and like what I tell people too is this is my experience with it. I mean, you could have this keyboard and have a completely different experience. I would say, you know, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can return everything within 30 days. If you're looking at this keyboard, buy it on Amazon, and you have 30 days to check it out, right? Within a week, I knew I really tried to get into this keyboard. I, you know, wrote a ton of articles and reviews with it. I played games with it. It just wasn't there for me in that respect.
Yeah.
But I do think I still think, you know, great design, low profile keys, low profile key caps, the white design, RGB backlighting software, and it's only $120.
I actually think that 120 might be too high too as well.
For a full size,
even full QWERTY, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's not a Cherry Switch.
That's true.
So I think that's the thing, because the Cherry Switch is like one of the only things that really justifies a high price, other than like some exotic build materials, right?
I would say that. I think 125 is right in the mark for me, based on the RGB backlighting, because you can find mechanical keyboards that are around $120 that don't have RGB backlighting.
But they'll have switches.
I think the RGB backlighting is a big deal for a lot of people, especially these days, sadly.
I think that you could find something similar for less.
Yeah, and the thing is too is we haven't seen, at least I don't think there hasn't been a, you know, we saw the Cherry Switch at CES, the low profile switch.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a production board yet. At least I haven't really looked. And of course we haven't reviewed one. So, you know,
I wonder if Ducky has one. I think didn't we see Ducky samples?
Yeah, we did see Ducky samples there. Yeah. I'm assuming Corsair will be one of the first ones that come out. They usually are one of the first when it comes to that type of Switch. Like I said, I think it's a great board. For me, those certain things lended it to not be as comfortable as a board for me. I thought I was going to use this for a long time, and I switched back. So.
Yep. It looks like it was going to be a good keyboard. So again, it's unfortunate. Ducky doesn't have one. They have one that they've teased, but it's not out yet. So.
Yeah. So I don't. We'll see those closer to Computex time, I would assume. Yeah. So
we'll see what the pricing on those is, I guess, right?
Because again, it is hard to price this because I'm sure they don't know the pricing that the Cherry branded boards are going to be at just yet. So, yep. But 120 is fine for me. If the keycaps were concave, I think that would have helped a lot. So. I think that's the big issue there. But like I said, if you're interested in this keyboard, buy it on Amazon. You can return it in 30 days, no questions asked, and you can spend some time with it and see if you really like it. So check out the review to learn a little bit more about that keyboard. And the second thing we're taking a look at is a smart speaker, and a very, very nice smart speaker. This is from a company out of Europe called Kit Sound, and they make all different types of speakers and some other consumer electronic devices. And this is their Voice One smart speaker. And actually, I'm gonna unplug my Alexa because it's gonna go off as I talk about this. There we go, unplugged it. Okay. So this has Amazon Alexa built in, and it is a smart speaker. It's sort of meant to compete with the Amazon Echo. And it does a really great job. I think the smart speakers kind of, even when they first came out, I was like, who wants that, right? But once you use, even when you start using Amazon Alexa or any smart assistant, you like don't do anything differently. Like when I got into smart home, I was like, why would I talk to turn my lights on? And now I don't even touch my light switch ever. It's just so, it becomes second nature to you. It's weird at first, you know, it's just like using the, you know, back in the day when you had a normal phone and then you went to like a touch screen, you're like, what is this? You know what I mean?
I remember. I remember when the first touchscreen phones came out, I was like, I don't need that.
Yeah. So this is meant to compete with the Echo, the new one's only, this one is only the new Amazon Echo is $99. This speaker is $179. But it sounds amazing.
And that's the big key to it, right?
Yeah, this is but I think there's another. I'm just looking on Amazon. I know there's another Amazon. Hold on.
Another version of it?
There's like the bigger one, but it's not coming up in my search for some reason. All those other ones are. So there's a Amazon Tap. Hold on. I'm trying to find it because it's supposed to. Let's see.
Wait, I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I don't see it either. The Echo Plus? Ooh, that's it. Let's see how much that one is. That's still not, I don't believe. No. Okay. So there's Echo Plus, which seems to be older. Echo Plus is $149. But it's meant to compete with that. But I think it sounds really great. So basically, you have the single speaker, and this one has left and right speaker built into it. So you can actually team up to 8 of these together, or 2, and you can do left and right sound, which is actually pretty cool. But you have really great sound coming out of this. And of course, you have Amazon Alexa built in. You can stream Spotify. You can stream Amazon's own streaming service. You can connect it with a bunch of other streaming services online. You can play anything that's on your device. So they have an app that you can use that you can stream anything on your device over Wi-Fi, which of course is better than Bluetooth. This also functions as a Bluetooth speaker, and A lot of things you don't realize that it can do. Yes, you can ask Amazon, you know, or Alexa questions and things like that, but you can also use this as an alarm clock, which actually I use it as. So you could say things like, Alexa, set alarm for 7 a.m. to Metallica radio, and then Metallica would come on at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, things like that that you don't really think about for this device. It just functions as everything. It's a whole room speaker. I had it in my office. I had it in my living room. I had it in the kitchen. I had it pretty much in every room in my apartment, and it was more than loud enough. I didn't even have to have it close to, you know, I think at max I had it at 60%, and it was extremely loud, very powerful bass, so it sounded really, really good. You know, it's not going to be the same as like the Sonos, you know, $500 system or something like that,
right.
But it sounds really good. And the thing that it does have over so a lot of the Sonos systems and some of the other whole home speaker systems, you can pair up to 80 of these together and they'll work. From what I've read, I didn't have the chance to test it, obviously.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, team all of these together up to 8 and they'll work perfectly together. And that's will save you a lot of money over the different Sonos systems and things like that. And you don't need a hub. You don't need anything for that to work. It will just work. Nice. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So you can have them scattered throughout your house.
Yeah, you can have them scattered throughout your house, and of course, all of them have Alexa. So any room you're in, you can just say, "Hey Alexa," and it will, you know.
And then are they connecting over Wi-Fi then?
Yes.
Okay.
Extremely easy to set up. Takes like 5 minutes. Just do it all through the app. You download the app on your phone, and then you use that to set the speaker up. It's really easy. I didn't have any issues with any connection things or anything like that. Even when I'm playing music, if I say, hey, Alexa, it picks up my voice and pauses the music and allows me to ask a question or do something like that. It's really well done. Just another thing is that the fabric coating is nano coated, so it's like water resistant. They think, you know, if you're cooking or something like that in the kitchen, this will that will help with that as well. So it's really good. And it has a USB port on the back and a line in. And what's really cool about this is that if you have more than one speaker and you have like an old device or say a record player or something, you know what I mean, that has that you can use the line in, you can then take that line in device and stream to all over your house, obviously, with this.
Wow.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
It you know, and the USB will charge your device and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's a very well done product. It is, you know, $179 is getting up there. When you know the Amazon Echo is the second generation is $100 right now.
Yeah, but truthfully, when it comes to what is essentially Bluetooth speaker technology, that's really not high at all. That's right in there for the decent, larger size, good sounding speakers.
Yeah, and again,
it's more than that, of course.
Yeah, and obviously it has Alexa built in. It sounds amazing. I didn't have a single, you know, pretty much a single issue. The only issue that, well, it's not really an issue, it's something they could add, is that I'd like to be able to equalize the speaker myself, like set my own kind of sound profile.
Sure.
You know, some of the higher end speakers offer that within their app. This does not have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. I mean, it's in my bedroom now. I use it for alarm. I use it for setting timers. Like, you know, it's a perfect thing. Like when you're cooking, you don't even think about it. You're listening, you know, just you're streaming some music, and then you could say, you know, Alexa, set timer for 25 minutes or whatever. You know, so it's just so nice having that built into the speaker, and a really great speaker for good sound. I know you're an audio guy, so I'm sure you can definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
So yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely check out the review. Very cool. It just works. And if you're already like in the Amazon ecosystem, you'll love this, because like I said, it just having Alexa, which I'm used to now for all the smart home stuff we did,
mm-hmm.
I'm used to using now, so it's just like it's second nature to do it. So it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
So yeah. Yeah, definitely check out that review. And then we are moving on to Case Mod Friday, and this is, of course, where we feature a builder mod that's been done in the community. And this time we have something that I don't believe I've seen somebody else do. I could be wrong. So this is called Project Lingnum from this guy's, I don't want to try to say his name. It's sort of like steampunk, old school themed build. But the thing that I thought was incredibly interesting is that he built handles on the top of the case here, which is a Cooler Master case. And he put is that what those are called? A cathode tube?
I don't know if they're cold cathode or not.
Or not cold cathode, but old school light bulbs as part of the handle, which obviously you couldn't pick them up that way. They're just designed to look that way.
Yeah.
But I just think that looks awesome.
It does look good.
I think it looks really cool, especially given that this is like kind of steampunk old school look. The rest of the build's pretty decent. He does use that awesome Gigabyte board that which one is that? That is the Z270 Design Air, the last good Design Air board you'll see.
Yeah, the last good one. Unfortunately, I think it looks pretty poor in this case.
Yes, I think he should have painted it that gold color, possibly.
Or the red. He's got a dark maroon in there.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I didn't feel that he accomplished that well. But yeah, changing the board color, or not the PCB, obviously, because that's impossible.
Yeah,
to do.
Basically impossible.
But like the accents on the heat sinks and the IO cover would have been better. But I really like that lighting at the top. And if you look at the back panel of the case, he has this really cool design with the Aorus logo there. I think that looks awesome as well. Just some really good work, some really good paint work on this. So definitely check this one out. I love steampunk builds. Sadly, not a lot are done great. But we do see some good ones.
Yeah, it takes a certain touch and a certain knowledge of like the aging and the putting patina on stuff to get it right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely check this one out. It's really cool. Really cool to see something different that we haven't seen. At least I don't believe we've seen something like this. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out. And we'll move on to news. And this is, you know, the following Tuesday. So some of the stuff's a little bit older, but we definitely will talk about it. So this past week, AMD announced their second generation Ryzen processors. This is the 2000 series. And this is what everybody has been waiting for. So you have the Ryzen 7 2700X, the Ryzen 7 2700, the Ryzen 5 2600X, and the Ryzen 5 2600. And these are, of course, are built on 12 nanometer technology, and you know, basically up to 15% higher gaming performance than first generation Ryzen processors. They're also, from all the reviews that I've seen, they are beating out Intel parts in multi-threaded testing, getting closer in single core. And of course, but the one thing, they're still behind in gaming performance. So that's something to think about. But you have four new SKUs here and a whole slew of motherboards that were released as well. So it's an exciting time for AMD for these parts, I think. And I think that's especially now the Ryzen platform is solidified. I think that you have a real choice these days when it comes to choosing a processor, which before Ryzen, you really didn't.
People made the choice, but they often made the wrong choice.
Yeah, I think that if you were trying to save money, you went AMD and you were disappointed.
It just cost more money in the long run. I have we're the PC guy, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners get this too, where all your friends or whatever trying to get into it, they ask you, what should I get? And then you tell them, and then they're like, oh, that's too much, and they go and they buy, well, back in the day, an AMD part. And it was like, oh, man, and then they end up replacing it like within less than a year or whatever, because it's just not doing it. It is not the case anymore.
Yeah. So we have, you know, we have a real choice, which I like. I love competition that just brings out better things, I feel. And yeah, from all the reviews, it seems like these are great parts. And I, you know, I've seen a lot of the new boards, and I think they're pretty awesome.
Even significantly better than the launch boards, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking to build a new system, Ryzen is definitely a viable option if you're looking to go that way. And it's backed by great boards, and it's proven now that, you know, anytime there's a new product, I know you're one to say this as well, like, go wait for the second iteration, because
second generation is the one that works right.
Yeah. And, you know, initially with Ryzen, we had issues, and it seems like all of that is solved now in second generation. And it's a perfect time to buy a system. So, I would definitely consider, you know, using Ryzen in any build, really, because it works great. Multi-threaded is amazing. So if you're doing video editing or encoding or something like that, it's definitely something you can take advantage of for sure.
Yeah. The single core is probably a lot of where the gaming is falling short.
Yes.
Simply because of the times where you just need, you know, a high single core performance to push something.
So that's where Intel is kind of edging out currently. And that kind of moves us to our next story where, you know, where's the successor to the 1800X, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a downer to not have the highest end part.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the 2000 series was launched, and as we told you guys in the rumors, where there was not going to be a 2800X, and there isn't. But Jim Anderson, the senior vice president of AMD, has hinted that AMD might release a Ryzen 7 2800X at a later date. I think the big thing with this is that because they're beating Intel in the multi-threaded in most testing, is that they feel that they don't need to release the part, right? And they're waiting to see what Intel does, so then when Intel releases, they can release something that will beat what Intel currently has. And I think that's the fight that we're seeing. And it sucks because we see this with NVIDIA and AMD. Like, NVIDIA has had technology and cards ready, and they just don't release them, and they wait because they don't need to. And this is kind of what we're seeing, you know, because in all intents and purposes, this chip is done and ready to go. I don't see how it couldn't be, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you built all the other ones.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's just, yeah. So,
I find that this is a poor. I mean, it's marketing essentially, right? Well, it's the chess game, but it's marketing. I think that it's a poor decision. It's very much in the vein of old school AMD, where they're holding back. And AMD has always been the just wait until we release this part, right? When this part comes, we'll be the leaders, you know? But it's like they are going up with this line, this 2000 series is essentially going up against the 8000 series from Intel. But those parts have all been out now for a little while. Mm-hmm. So you're competing against Intel's last move with your newest move. And you're not even putting your biggest player on the board. Just releasing it later doesn't do much for you.
Yeah, but it gives them. Here's the thing, and here's the thing that I think a lot of old school AMD people and saying that we're the best. We have the most powerful chip currently, right?
But it's not winning everything. Even the 2700X is you know, you have to be solidly in the lead on everything, I would say, and they have to know that from
it just so reminds me of old school AMD saying, oh, we have, you know, we have this, we have that type of thing. And it's coming, sad because it's sad because everybody wants that part, right? And now you're gonna have, you know, when Intel supposedly releases another chip, which hopefully will come soon, you know, then we'll see that other part come out, and everybody who bought the 2700X will be like, well, what the hell?
They all basically got shafted.
I mean, we've seen that within NVIDIA too,
and then that actually hurts your initial sales, because there are people who just will be like, well, I'm not buying until that part's out.
And that hurts the whole ecosystem when it comes to motherboard sales, and that trickles down to memory and everything else, right?
Yeah, and then maybe they go, oh, well, Intel's new parts are out, I'm just going to buy one of those now.
You just never know how it's going
to
go.
I think you just launch the whole thing. So they still have new Threadripper parts to release, right? It's not like they don't have anything coming around the corner.
It's just how they're doing it, so it's kind of sad.
Just a weird thing to do.
Yeah, but we're gonna switch gears to Intel, and a rumor that's going around that Intel could commemorate the 40th anniversary, which makes us sound so old, of the 8086 with a special Core i7 SKU. So the 8086 is the very distant ancestor of today's x86 architecture. It's a huge deal. When it came out, and
it's modern computing. I mean,
40 years later, it's still such a, you know, when it was released, it's a huge deal. So if you guys remember the 20th anniversary of the Pentium brand, which was that awesome chip. You saw that?
Yeah.
The anniversary edition, which was highly overclockable and a lot of fun to play with.
Yep.
They might do an i7-8086K, which will be based off the same 14-nanometer Coffee Lake silicon, but it will have a base clock of 4.0 gigahertz and a turbo boost above 5 gigahertz, unlocked multiplier, and 12 megabytes of L3 cache. There were some Chinese screenshots of CPU Z and a picture of it, which haven't been confirmed.
It's the one thing I gotta say is that the text in the picture is easily the most potentially Photoshop text I've ever seen.
The text on the chip is the most because if you look, the actual text on the chip is above his
the watermark,
which made it suspect to me.
Like he screwed his layers up.
Yeah, like who knows if this is, it'd be cool if this is true, right? Just because I love special editions.
I kind of want to buy it. I'm not gonna
lie. Yeah, like all this kind of stuff. It's gonna be faster than the 8700K. So
slightly. It's essentially overclocked, or did they actually add to the L3 cache?
I believe they added to the L3 cache. Okay. But we don't know. The picture is suspect. The screenshots are less suspect, but they're still.
It'd be cool even if it was just like a higher bin chip that they
had. Yeah, or something. Yeah, like all that kind of stuff that we don't see anymore. And we don't see that in the graphics card space anymore either. Special editions. Yes, there's only so many. We're seeing less and less of that. But it would be cool to see that from Intel. Maybe we'll see it here down the road. You don't know. We don't know. Who knows? Moving to the graphics card space, which it's been kind of quiet lately.
Mean, really, this is news that no one really cares about.
Back in 2017, Raja Koduri, who's now at Intel, showed a Radeon RX Vega Nano. I love the Nano cards, even the GeForce Nano cards too. I love the small graphics cards because you can build an ITX system with a pretty beefy graphics card, and it's so small and all that. I love it.
And we're seeing cooler and cooler cases built in that form factor too.
Yes.
I think there's always been a lot of really cool ones, but a lot of neat ones lately.
Yes, for sure. At the Ryzen 2000 series launch event, which was in Germany, a Power Color Radeon RX Vega Nano showed up, and it's a little different from the one that he showed back in 2017. It's missing some things, but it does have a 8+6 pin for better power delivery, which of course that's been an issue with AMD cards. No word on if this was a 56 or a 64. I'm guessing it's a 56 based on the power delivery. We don't know when it's going to be available, if it's going to be available, if this is just, just there.
Just a thing to bring.
Yeah, so not exactly sure. I'm all for small cards, doesn't matter if it's AMD or NVIDIA. I love the smaller form factor.
Definitely.
So hopefully, I remember the R9 Nano, I wanted one. I talked about it in the podcast how much I wanted one. That turned out to be not great.
But this could be like the coolest thing ever. But why?
It's especially late. Now. especially now with, yeah, it is so late. Like, NVIDIA's gearing up for another launch. Yeah. It's, you know, we won't see something like this probably till Computex, which means NVIDIA will likely be showing their new card there.
Yeah.
You know, it's always too late. You know, I love what AMD has done on the CPU side. They've really kicked ass, I feel. On the GPU side, they're just, and especially with, you know, we talked about it last week, another person from the Radeon team is gone, mm-hmm. Raja's gone. Like, I think they need to take a couple years off and redo everything.
let some funds stack up so they can actually do some real research and development.
Yeah, I mean, I that's what they had. I mean, it took them 4 years to develop Ryzen and basically 2 years off of releasing the CPU products. And I think that's what's needed on this
side. If they want to be in the GPU segment, they need a restart.
Yeah. And it looks like we might have Intel coming into that segment eventually. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we'll see. We shall see. Talking about GPU stuff, a really, really cool, I wouldn't say cool by any means, an interesting product. We've seen so many of these portable... external GPU devices that will, of course, turn your Ultrabook into a gaming machine. As they say, this one's one of the smallest ones I've seen. It's about the size of a traditional portable hard drive, not an SSD, but a normal portable hard drive that we've seen. And, you know, this is from a company I've never heard of. It's called...
I don't know. I don't know where they're from. So
X-Clim. Yeah. So this was on Kickstarter, and it has an NVIDIA GeForce 1050, which is it's OC to 1680 megahertz.
Right.
It's powered. It looks like it's just powered by Thunderbolt, which is pretty impressive. And it gives you HDMI output, or you can do Thunderbolt output to a monitor if you want. They have their gaming benchmarks. You know,
sort of, which
it's showing it beating the GTX 1050 desktop. This is an OC card, so you can, you know, but still, I mean, that's still pretty impressive. If you look at, you know, most Ultrabooks will have that Intel HD 620 in it. Almost all of them will. You know, so you're getting, in Star Wars Battlefront 2, you're getting 7 frames per second at 1920 by 1080. With this, you're getting 60.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Recon Wildlands, you're getting 9 frames a second. With the Intel, you're getting 58 here. So it's definitely a... if you're into gaming, it's something... you know, you should think about. The only thing I don't like about, or not that I don't like, but yeah, this is super small and convenient, but like, the whole point of an external GPU is not made for to be on the go, right? It's made so when you are coming back from being on the go with your Ultrabook, you can plug into a nice big monitor, you can plug into an external graphics card dock that has, you know, a 1080 Ti in it. That's the only thing that
serious power.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the only thing, because this thing is providing a nice jump in performance, but it's just so small that that's the only thing you're getting out of it, right? When, again, these eGPU, you know, devices are typically made for higher end cards where you're sitting down at a real monitor, and all of that, not to be portable. That's my only.
I can see the use case for certain individuals, but I do agree with you as well. I think it's both. Yeah. I actually have a couple of different concerns about it. Like you said, it is the size of, well, what some people will remember as the external hard drive enclosure, which is pretty small for something such as a graphics card. Like, that's a lot of heat, right? Heat seems like it's going to be an issue with
and
this
I
thing.
And I don't... I see what looks like a fan there.
Yeah.
This thing has to be loud.
Yeah, yep. I see that thing spinning up like crazy.
I have a 1080 Ti or a 1050 Ti, yeah. Ti sitting here. It's small.
Yeah.
But, in, you know, Yeah.
A lot of the smaller GPUs, too, like, their fans spin up pretty loud because they're clocked pretty high.
Yeah.
Especially this is overclocked, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other concern is power consumption.
It has feeding to be all of locked.
That through turbo.
I mean, the 1050 Ti I have is powered by the PCI slot, so there's no external power. I mean, the NVIDIA the Pascal architecture is great when it comes to power.
I don't know. I don't see it. Also, I mean, you're running power and data through the same connection, so. Obviously,
I think Thunderbolt 3, you have enough there. I don't see that as being an issue.
I don't know. Getting this to work correctly is questionable.
I would love to test one. I would love to see what this thing could really do.
Yeah.
Because it might work perfectly.
It could.
Oh, wait. Look at this. No. It says compact 90-watt USB-C power adapter with power share charge.
Oh. So their photo is not correct then. They don't show.
No, it's probably daisy chained.
Okay. Well, okay. So in their very first photo, well, it's in the video on the Kickstarter, and it's Kickstarter, by the way, too. That's important for everyone to know. This is not a product yet.
Yeah.
It's simply plugged in with the Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
That's the only thing plugged in.
Yeah. So. I'd want to test one.
Man, they really are trying to sell this as super portable. The guy playing only has his headphones and this thing plugged in, and he's playing on his, I think it looks like a Razer book. Like, no way. Dude, power through this, your laptop's dead on an Ultrabook, 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ultrabook's pretty good. I think you'll get a little bit more power
running,
out of that. But
running an external GPU?
It's a 1050... And it uses 90 watts. I think you get an hour out of it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's $400.
To pledge to get it.
Yes, it is. That's Canadian. Or it's $399 USD. Yeah. So you get the EX Core. You get a thank you letter. You get a premium user code. Upgrade program, whichever, I don't know what that means, and you get a shirt. I would love to try it. Because say I am on a trip, I was just in Mexico, say I want to play some, Fortnite, which I've been playing a lot of. I can not.
You can take your phone out.
I can take my phone out for sure. But if I want to play a game, I can't really play it on my Ultrabook. I just can't. As much as I want to, I can't. Yeah. I got this thing. It's the size of a portable hard drive. Plug that in. Get my Fortnite on. I would love to be able to try this. To actually try it.
Yeah. I'm questioning their goal. They were asking for $62,000. What does that get you when you're?
And they already beat it.
Yeah, but so it's gonna happen. But like, man, what's actually getting paid for with only $62,000? Like, that's not very much money when it comes to a product.
I'm not gonna play the video.
Yeah,
it should tell you in the video what they're seeking funding for. Let me watch the video. They even have the hash rate for Bitcoin. Sweet. That's funny.
35% increase in performance.
Yeah. So. Definitely check it out. Check out the Kickstarter page. It's an interesting product. I love that we are seeing more things like this. I love that PC gaming in general is just getting more and more popular, and it's just becoming this thing, even more so than a few years ago. I mean, it's really great.
Yeah, it is. It's blowing up more.
Yeah, for sure. Talking about gaming and graphics cards, we had the talk, what was it, maybe a month ago? About the GeForce Partner Program. Basically, NVIDIA has come out with the GeForce Partner Program, which more or less forbids companies to sell AMD graphics cards under the same brand. So if you think of a company like Asus, they have the Republic of Gamers, and they have their Strix.
Yep.
And some other, and in other companies, Gigabyte has Aorus. So if Asus wants to be part of the GeForce Partner Program, they basically cannot sell AMD cards under that same brand, and we've seen this already. Aorus has taken their AMD cards off the webs off their websites. So has Asus. The Strix cards are gone, and it's kind of fucked up. Sorry to say that. It's kind of messed up because as a gamer, you're used to those brands. You're used to a Republic of Gamers card. You're used to a Strix card. You're used to an Aorus card. You're used to an MSI Lightning card. And you want to be able to choose if you want an AMD card or you want an NVIDIA card. It doesn't matter. You should be able to make that. You should be able to have that choice.
Well, it doesn't matter that one is better or not. It's that you get to decide what you get to buy. The dollar. Yeah. The dollar decides what sells.
And like one of the most anticipated Vega cards was the Asus Strix, the Strix version.
Right.
That was the one that everybody wanted. Actually. Yeah. So because of that, Asus has announced a new AMD exclusive Arez brand for Radeon cards, which looks almost exactly like Strix. For the most part, within that brand, I think it's just
almost exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's a quick rebrand of that, and that will have all of those cards within that brand. I think we're going to see a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
So now every big brand that you know will have two different gaming brands within it, one for AMD and one for NVIDIA, which is sad. Too, because at the same time, you also see Republic of Gamers products, right? Like you see a keyboard and a mouse, and and it just
so you makes can't it match more... up your products anymore if you're going with the AMD part.
Yeah, it's just.
I mean, it makes sense for NVIDIA to want their branding to be separate. Obviously, they're just trying to like completely capitalize and take over the whole market. It's very non-competitive. Move on their part. They could end up getting sued, but I mean, in a certain way, it makes sense for them to not want their card associated directly with an AMD part to somebody that doesn't know better for what they're looking at.
Yeah, but I think the anti-competitive nature of it, I'm just not a fan, and the fact that like they're the big bully. And they could be like, okay, you don't want to be part of the GeForce Partner Program? You're only getting 10,000 GPUs. Yeah. You know, we're only sampling you 10,000 GPUs.
Good luck.
We're not giving you any support. And, you know, we talked about it as part of the GeForce Partner Program. You're not getting the marketing money. You're not getting the help from us to help, you know, our technical expertise to help you create these custom cards. Like, you're not getting any of that.
Yeah.
And they can just take that away, it seems, for the brands that don't want to do this. So, yeah, you know, it would be cool to see some really different AMD brands too. Like if Asus, you know, this is the first generation, they basically just have to rebrand everything. But like the next generation, the next big AMD launch, if there is one, have a really cool brand that like everybody wants that's called, you know, that looks different. It doesn't just look like a copy. Like,
yeah, they take this
area that would be cool.
Its own design, its own shrouds and heat spreaders.
That would be super cool, I think.
I agree.
But we'll see.
It could potentially create a more colorful market for us.
Yeah, yeah. So these cards will start to be available in May 2018.
You think they had to do more than just put new stickers on the fans?
Probably barely. Yeah, barely. it looks like just take off certain branding and replace it.
I hope that they literally didn't even take the stickers off the center of the fan hubs. They just put them right over top.
We'll see. I think we'll see more brands have this. So
yeah, now that they've seen the idea. I mean, it walks them right around the stipulations of the contract.
Yeah, and it's good that they're actually doing that, right? Because you don't want a big company like Asus, Gigabyte, you know, MSI to not offer AMD cards.
Well, no one would offer AMD cards. Who would take that choice?
Yeah.
Do you want a product that sells, or do you want a product that doesn't sell?
Exactly. So, yeah. I'm excited to see some of these other brands. Yeah. Maybe we'll see some stuff in the next launch. I don't think we'll see anything cool or out of the ordinary now, but the next launch we might see something cool. So
it's almost like getting new GPUs.
Yeah, yeah. I think, again, the next generation will be a little bit more exciting, yeah. But we will have to see. So moving from there to your expertise, which is AIOs and all of that. Cooler Master finally announced and may be available. They're available now. Their first addressable RGB AIO coolers, and they're from Cooler Master. They're Master Liquid ML240R RGB, long name.
Always.
And the Master Liquid ML120R RGB. These offer addressable LEDs, not only in the fan, but in the pump block as well. So you can do, if you're doing Ultimate RGB, check out our RGB video we did a while ago on the Ultimate RGB build. But with this, you can really do some, you know, address, like most RGB fans will allow you to do different colors and have some effects, right?
Yeah.
But with this, every RGB in the fan and in the pump block is addressable, which means you have a lot more freedom to create different patterns and do different things and make different colors and just do a lot of cool stuff with them. You know, I don't know how in-depth the software is because I haven't used the Cooler Master software, but I'm thinking it's going to be pretty good.
Should be.
And so the ML240R is, of course, 240mm radiator, and the ML120 is a 120mm radiator. The 120 is push-pull, which is nice. 240, of course, is not. And the pretty good pricing, I think. You tell me. The 240 is $119, and the 120 is $99.
Yeah, that's right there with Corsair. Well, it's a little less than the RGB stuff from Corsair. So that's
and cool. It looks like so the software is not available right now. It says the Cooler Master Master Plus software is currently in beta testing, expect to be available in May. We've seen those get delayed,
tough to review that product.
So I assume there is a 4-pin, because it says that there's compatible motherboards from ASRock, MSI, and ASUS.
All right.
No Gigabyte on there, or Aorus, which is weird. Mm-hmm. But I think if you have a 4-pin, you should be able to control it with the software, which is cool. And these look great. We saw these at CES. They really do look good.
Yeah, they do.
The
pump is nice. The pump does not perform as well as I had hoped, because this is the same pump that we saw in their relaunch.
Yes.
Their first series since they were forced to stop selling their parts.
Yes. So, but I like
the
RGB.
Check out their website, man. They have a really nice website for this, actually. Kudos to them, man. It's like graphiced out. It's got little GIFs going and...
Oh yeah, they've really done a good job probably the past year on their website. Their website used to be not that great. They've done a really great job with their website. Super user friendly, lots of info, lots of graphics, and you know, I'm looking right now like inside the pump, showing you how it works,
yeah.
Giving a rundown of all the parts that are in the pump. Like they've done a really great job with their website, and I think Cooler Master is starting to build back that brand confidence and being the brand for builders. They've done a lot. You know, one of the things that they sent me a 120 version of, I think it's the newer ones, just to use in a build. And, you know, just having like the thumb screws for the fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you think that's so stupid, but it makes it 100 times easier to install the fans than normal screws, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're good quality. They're not like pieces of crap like you see with other brands. And
yeah,
you know,
actually, they're great when you're screwing them in with your thumbs, but when you put a screwdriver in them, they're too shallow.
That's something we should tell them. but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they've done a lot in the past couple of years, and their website speaks to that as well.
Yeah.
So really cool stuff. So check that out. And then our only gaming story of the week is, of course, about Fortnite. And Fortnite Mobile has grossed $25 million in the first 30 days. And that's only from... And this is a free game. This game does not cost anything. This is $25 million in in-game purchases, which are all cosmetic.
Right.
Nothing helps. You can't buy better guns or anything like that. Everything's cosmetic. And it is the only app that performed better was Tinder, I believe, in the U.S. App Store. Wow. And it said once this launches on Android, it said it could easily earn over $500 million this year. And that is just on mobile. That doesn't even count.
The game.
That doesn't even count for what people are doing. You know, the PC people on PC skins and things, which has to be a lot as well. Average daily spend on the game has topped 1 million worldwide per day.
I assume that's for the total game, or is that just for
mobile? No, that's for mobile. Oh, wow. on the Apple App Store. And again, it's only available on iOS devices. It's not available on Android yet. And Android is a bigger market.
Yeah.
It is like she says, $1 million. We made $1 million today. $1 million. And you're like,
hey guys, let's go home. We made $1 million.
Yeah, and I can't think. I mean, I know their server costs and their development costs and all that stuff has to be decent,
astronomical,
but it can't be more than $1 million a day. I don't think.
The best part is that this game is essentially a mod to their other to the real game.
Yes, it's not even the real game. But they've done such a great job.
Yeah.
Updating and adding cool modes and doing things. I mean, it is the game I play the most now.
Yeah. Well, they pivoted. They did what every other... Maybe they didn't... Maybe not everybody was into this idea there. Maybe it wasn't the... I'm sure there were people there that, like, hate this game, right? That hate how successful the Battle Royale version is. But that's what you do. The other game wasn't selling, so you pivot and you make what sells and you make it better.
And the great thing about it is that... the one thing I really like about Fortnite... is that the building aspect makes things so different from your typical battle royale.
Oh, yeah.
You build walls to block, you build walls to jump over guys, like you do...
Basically make your own map.
Yeah, it's very cool, and you can see some really cool things. So I think that has really made it successful as well. It's blowing up. We talked about PC gaming getting bigger and bigger, and this is just helping it, so I love it. And congrats to Epic Games, it's kind of probably reignited that studio a lot when it comes, at least with cash, for sure. So really cool stuff there. Definitely, when it launches on Android, we'll let you know. And I'm sure there'll be big numbers when it comes to that as well. So very cool stuff.
Yep.
And talking about what we have coming up this week, I didn't get to it this week because I had some issues, but we will have it for you this upcoming. It is Tuesday, so we'll have it hopefully by the end of this week. Is the Fractile Design Meshify C. That is, of course, their ATX case, made to be pretty affordable and high airflow because you have the mesh in the front. So very, it's a nice case. High airflow is something we haven't seen a lot.
Actually, we've gone completely the opposite direction from airflow.
Yeah, people want that glass front, so no more intakes.
No more cooling air components.
Yeah. So this is a little different. So, excited to get a Fractal Design case in and really have some time to play with it and tell you guys about it. So we'll have that, and then we'll have a Bluetooth speaker, not a smart speaker, but this is the Braven Ready Solo, which is pretty much waterproof. They say it's waterproof. I don't know. It's IP68 waterproof. I took it in the pool when I was in Mexico, and we threw it around while it was on, no issues. It's very rugged. It's like, it's that summer Bluetooth speaker you need. I would say it survives everything. It sounds great. It can also function as a power bank. It's just like that thing you want with you. It's $100. Sounds good. I like it so far. Haven't had any issues. And like I said, I took it to Mexico, had it in the pool. No problem whatsoever. So
what is the rating actually?
IP68.
Okay.
So that's a 30 minutes in 1 meter of water.
Okay.
Which
is pretty much what any I guess unless you drop it in your deep end, but
yeah, I mean I had it in under the water, in the water, it survived everything, no problem.
Cool.
So yeah, so we'll have that, and then the review is on the website, but we don't talk too much about it. We'll talk more about it next week, but it is the Silverstone Primera PM02. This is another kind of more airflow. All the slits in the front are, of course, made for airflow, and it comes with fans, which is something we don't see a whole lot of unless it's RGB fans. It comes with fans that go in the front right there too, to give you that airflow. So you have four 140 millimeter fans with this. And I believe, I forget how much this is, but it's not super expensive. I think it's under $100.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So yeah, so we'll have that case as well. So yeah, cool stuff coming. You know, I really didn't do anything super nerdy this week. I still have yet to see Ready Player One.
You are not gonna see it in theater.
I thought about it, but then I just don't have time. Like,
it's not gonna happen. You're not gonna make it.
I might. there's this place that's like 25 minutes away. That's like dollar movies. When they get to like, you know, when they're out, like supposed to be out of theater, yeah, so I might go do that. It's like a movie I kind of want to see in the theater. Like, I really enjoyed the book a lot, and I know it's not like the book, but it has the likeness of the book.
Yeah, possibly. You gotta see it still. Just
yeah. So yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else. I was trying to really like that Tesoro keyboard.
She's trying real
hard. Yeah, playing some Fortnite. If you guys do want to play Fortnite, get on our Discord server. We'll have that link as well. It always tells you when I'm playing, so we'll have that up there. But yeah, man, just getting back into getting these reviews done. We have a lot of reviews to get done here in the next couple weeks, so kind of excited about that. And yeah, I don't know. What about you?
Much like Mark Cuban, I finally got around to playing Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And how was that?
It's okay. I played a few matches. I was discovering a lot of things, like you can't really fall off anything or you die. That was...
see, here, you know how to fix that.
I do not. Don't fall off
things. You build.
Oh, as you're falling, you just build
underneath. As you fall, you build under you and you're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I died.
I learned that the hard way too.
Yeah,
and you want to remap your so you have a back and forward button on your mouse.
Of course.
Remap those to building. So you can build super fast.
Don't you just hit Q and then you're in building?
Yeah, but when it's on your mouse, it's so much easier. Believe me. Yeah.
Okay.
And like you can set one to like the wall, and you can set the.
Yeah,
and then you can set the other one to be the ramp, like the ramp. So you like wall ramp, like, and you could just start building over people. Yeah. I've been playing with Fatality a lot, so
he's been schooling you in the proper ways.
Oh, jeez, yeah, he's really good. So, but yeah, Fortnite, good. Yeah, we'll play some, and we can play some this weekend or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. I don't know if you, played some Fortnite.
It. I'm sure some movies or something came out. I haven't really watched anything. I rode my bike a lot.
Yeah, well, it's nice. You got to get out there.
Yeah.
For sure. So, we got to get you some bike tech. We got to get you some, like, I don't know.
You got to give me the smart glasses. I actually saw there's an ex-pro that does a bunch of YouTube stuff now, and every video he's got this, like, heads-up display glasses on.
So it gives you like a heads up display.
They're kind of like AR. Like, yeah, it puts it onto the lens. They look super dorky though.
Well, maybe I'll get you a pair. You know, so yeah. There's tech in everything now. You got, you know, dude, anything that you do, there's tech in. So,
yeah.
That will wrap it up for this week, guys. Of course, we appreciate you guys listening. And as always, we'll have our full show notes page that has, of course, everything that we talked about with links to everything. So if we're talking about a certain product, you can get more information and all of that. So until next week, catch you guys later.